Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to
Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay Today, talking
sports radio on the dial. Check us out, we'll make you smile.
Ray
and they spit it, don't play, and we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football, college basketball.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. We are live.
Yeah.
Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tom Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and you know what? We weren't with you yesterday. Hope you had a great MLK Day, Martin Luther King Jr., and we are back Tuesday live. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out rayandtaytoday.com. A lot of cool, exciting things on the website. You know, some great shows, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. We're everywhere, Ray. And before we jump into those games of the championship, man, we got to talk about some stuff happening off the field in multiple sports. It's kind of wild, kind of crazy and busy. I want to ask you, because you're the baseball guru. Let's start with baseball. What is happening with the Washington Nationals and that pitching staff?
Well, they just put a lot of money into Mad Max. So, you know what? He did the right thing. He got offered, what was it, $24, $25 million a year for, I think it was
$140 million, I think he was offered.
From Detroit. And he said,
cha-ching.
You know what? I'm betting on myself, and I can do better. And then when Clayton Kershaw got his money, nobody thought that another pitcher would make $30 million and not for 7 years. But Mad Max did it, and he got himself a $30 million deal for 7 years, 210. The only concession, I guess, that he made was that he said, I'll take half up front and half on the back end. So he's making $14 or $15 million a year for 7 years, and then he's making $15 million a year for another 7 years. So,
right.
Okay, he's got his built-in pension right there, but good for him. Mad Max bet on himself, and he got paid. Now the question, we talked about this off-air, is
right.
How many of these guys can they afford? You know, can they afford to keep that
whole rotation? Well, I got two questions for you with that, though. One, so there were the rumors yesterday of saying, you know, he's only got 1 year left, he's about to be a free agent, that they might trade Jordan Zimmer. And then today, all over, you know, MLB.com and Real GM, I'm reading that they might trade Steven Strasburg. So if you have to give up one and you can only sign one of those guys, so you can't have a five-man, you know, with Pfister and Gonzalez and all them, can't have a five-man stud rotation, you can only have four, who do you give up? Jordan Zimmer, a little bit older than Strasburg, but no, not the injuries that Strasburg has had, or Strasburg, who hasn't been ticket of genius, you know, more hype than,
given where he was drafted, right? He's been a very nice young pitcher. And how old is he, 25? I mean, this kid is still young. So between Pfister and Gonzalez and Strasburg, if you had to let somebody go, I guess if you went out there and you got Max Scherzer, and he's a strikeout pitcher, and you believe he's an innings eater, it might be blasphemous, but maybe you get somebody. Maybe the way to look at it is who's got the highest value, and I think Strasburg's got the highest value because, you know, one
of the
other GMs is going
to
think this guy could be the next, you know, Nolan Ryan if he's healthy.
Okay.
So maybe you explore. It sounds blasphemous, like you said, and I wouldn't, though. I would take my chances on a handful of people per generation have his talent. Now, he did have Tommy John surgery, and he was, you know, ups and downs, and this year was a little disappointing. But I don't think you give up on an arm like that. I mean, look at how these guys, Doug Pfister, and how these guys later in their career are turning out to be good. Even Michael Pineda, you know, who has basically missed 2 years of baseball. So, but I wouldn't be surprised if they sniffed around. And
this is the second question that's more upsetting to me. you're reading that the Yankees were never in on Max Scherzer. And my question is, why in the heck not? Come on, Yankees.
Well, I'm okay with that. If his agent said the price tag for Mad Max is 7 years, $30 million, the Yankees already have a bunch of nooses around their neck in the names of CC Sabathia. And I'm not saying they didn't deliver championships, because they did. But Mark Teixeira, CC Sabathia were both 7- and then 8-year deals. And then, what's his name? Jacoby Ellsbury at 31 signs a
But if this roster stays the same going to opening day, I will say right now, on what are we rocking January 20th? The Mets might have a better record than the Yankees.
Maybe.
You know?
But I can't sign somebody a pitcher to 7 years.
No, that's fair. Listen, any deal that's to me 7 to 10 years, if a guy is 29 or 30, you know, 28 maybe, but, you know, that 29, 30
Mike
range,
Trout's
the Pujols deal.
Yeah,
you got to be. Trout was what? When he got that deal, it's only what? His Trout's deal was only like 6 years.
He's
and he
like
was what, 23? Yeah, so, you know.
Clayton Kershaw might be the other exception, but really a position player who's under 25. I can't, especially the Yankees, we've been burned by these long contracts too much.
All right, so keeping it off the field, the Australian Open has begun. And I'm not going out on any limbs. I'm sorry. I'm going with Djokovic and Serena Williams. What are your thoughts? Who's going to bring home? Now, it's not as hot as last summer. Remember that crazy heat wave?
Yeah.
So far, the weather's been okay, and just, you know, first day or two, whatever. But what are your thoughts? Any upsets, or are you going with chalk?
I can't go against those two. I mean, I don't know. Maybe like an Andy Murray or somebody can come out, or maybe a big hitter on the surface, you know, on that hard court surface. But to me, those two, you know, they play to that surface. They're rested. There's a reason they're both number one seeds. I gotta go with the favorites. I'm like,
yeah.
I hate to be boring, but I call it like it is.
Nah, listen, that's fair. Now, look, we're gonna get to the NFL, but the perfect way to get there is to talk about what's happened in the last couple of days off the field. And before we get to the head coaches, how about this? The Ravens hire your guy. We wondered where he was going, but Mark Trestman is the OC replacing Kubiak, who's now the head coach of Denver. But how do you like that for the Ravens, getting Mark Trestman as the OC? Pretty good.
You know, I love it for the Ravens. Mark Trestman, everybody likes him. It turns out that he's probably best suited as an offensive coordinator, which is no knock. It's
right.
Just that's what he does. He's an offensive guy. Yeah. He gets to focus on the offense. And you know what? He's got an interesting little team there because Steve Smith is getting older. Torrey Smith is your boy from Maryland.
They're
going
to have to draft another receiver. Yeah.
They're going to have to draft a receiver. We like Dennis Pitta, but he got hurt. Owen Daniels filled in nicely.
Kind of old, though.
Forsett stepped up. But you know what? He's in his ninth year. He doesn't have the mileage on him. So, you know,
But this is a draft that's deep with backs, so they can get a back in the second or third round. This is going to be a great draft for receivers and backs, horrible for quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, they've got their Joe Flacco, so they're okay.
Yeah,
just need to make some tweaks. So, yeah, good pickup, very good pickup. By
All right, so let's keep running it down the line. The Bears, so they just got the coach, John Fox. Now the D.C. is Vic Fangio from the Niners. I love it. Thought he could wind up in Arizona. I guess, you know, my boy from the Steelers is going to go over there, Dick LeBeau. But that's big. The
By
Niners
the way,
DC
that's gonna have,
is great.
They're going to have the oldest coaching staff in the history
of
football. But that's
you know,
that's
what
they're rocking.
No, but and Fangio with Fox should be a nice little, you know, pairing up. I want to see who the Bears, you know, get as the OC. So then how about this one? The Raiders get Bill Musgrave.
Raiders.
Bill Musgrave is their OC. What do you think about that one? A little surprised.
A little bit, but you know what? You had a sense that he would be back in the – you know, people started talking about him. The thing I have to say about the Raiders is it really starts with David Carr. You know, they've had
– Derek. David is
– Sorry.
Is Derek. Gone.
They've had 3 years of Rich Gannon, and other than that, they really haven't had, you know, good played
since Plunkett.
You know, Jim Plunkett. I was about to say since the mid '80s. So if you think about it,
Lord.
Todd Marinovich and that Kerry Collins for a little bit, and they had just a whole. And Jamarcus Russell, of course, set him back a few years
for
when
a hot
he got that
second.
Big
yeah.
when he got that big contract. So you know what? The offensive coordinator is secondary to the quarterback, and I hope Carr is that guy. You know, they've got that geriatric running back situation. They need to get younger and more athletic at the running back situation. Darren McFadden and MJD just got old in a hurry.
Nah.
Marcel Reese is a solid, you know, kind of third down back.
Yeah, I like Rivera, the tight end.
Michael Rivera.
Yeah, they've got some talent. So let's two more. This one you were questioning last show, and it has happened, and it's kind of surprising. Doug Marrone is hired by the Jaguars. He's down there at the Senior Bowl as the offensive line coach. I guess he's like, hey, I could take a little bit less because I'm making $4 million this year from the Bills, but really? Doug Marrone, the offensive line coach? I guess.
Well, you know what? I think it's just musical chairs. I think next year he'll be a head coach.
Right.
I think it just the timing or whatever didn't work out. To me, he did nothing wrong.
No.
9-7.
Good coach.
That defense
not a great
tremendous.
Roster.
Think about it. 9-7 with Kyle Orton as your quarterback. Your best players are Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods because your running backs didn't give you anything this year because they both got hurt.
They were hurt, yeah.
No fault of their own.
And Scott Chandler.
Top
six defense, yeah.
I mean, this guy, to me, needs to be a head coach, and I think next year he'll be a head coach.
And then the Browns, Ray, the Cleveland Browns bring back our guy. I saw him at the last Saturday, not the East-West Shrine game, at the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl. Mike Martz returns to the NFL as the OC of the Cleveland Browns. That one we have to keep an eye on. We definitely have to keep an eye on. You know, I mean, you know his legendary you know, greatest show on turf offense with the Rams. So, and then what he did in Detroit. But Cleveland still needs to sign a quarterback. I don't know who their quarterback is.
And we were saying off air, I hope that offensive line is up for it because Mike Martz will get your quarterback banged up. I mean, he does those deep 15-yard in routes. And
well, happy for Josh Gordon and Travis Benjamin, but you need somebody to throw it. So let's get to it. This is so fascinating. I'm listening to our last show on Friday, and I had to laugh out loud because I was like, Ray was right and Tay was right. You said Rodgers would go down and drive and they'd kick a field goal to win the game. They did that to tie the game, send it to overtime. But then my man, who I tell you all the time, Magic and Bird, well, Magic won more than Bird, and you saw what happened with Bird, Andrew Luck, who can't get over that Brady-Belichick hump. But Russell Wilson, in probably one of the ugliest championship games for 3 3/4 quarters, from the last 4 to 5 minutes on, totally riveting, really 3 minutes and change, I cannot believe how, you know, I mean, look, it's all mute if the kid does, Bostic does what he's supposed to do. They teach it from junior high school, you know, baby league on, onside kick. You first wave goes and blocks. Jordy Nelson would have caught it, game over. But he didn't do it. He was shook daddy. He made a mistake. And I don't know if it's fair in a press conference for Rodgers to be like, you know, we gave it away. They, you know, because at the end of the day, they had to make those plays to win, right? You got to have a decent enough kick for the guy to mess it up.
You're right.
It goes hand in hand.
Seattle, we'll give Seattle the credit. But let's start with how they did make it easy on Seattle. So start with...
Oh, the two field goals in the beginning.
Well, the field
goals. You
got to
punch it in the end zone. Yeah.
But give Seattle defense credit, right? They're the number one defense for a reason. But more importantly, there were a couple decisions that were a little suspect. So, number one was the interception when you go down. Now,
Burnett,
Burnett,
they say Peppers signaled him to go down.
I know Julius Peppers told him to go down. Well, slap Julius Peppers because if you take the ball 15 or 20 yards down the field. Now, granted, you go down in front of contact, right? If you think you're going to get hit, it's not worth it. But there was open field in front
of
him.
No,
so
that's,
then if you go down 20 yards, 30 yards, Aaron Rodgers runs three plays. You kick a field goal. You turn this into a 17-point game. It was 20-7 at the time, right?
It was amazing.
Points. Yeah.
No,
so 19-7. The two-point conversion. What happened
ha, ha,
there?
Clean. And it's so funny because he had such a great game, right? All the picks. And you know, from this great rookie class, and then he just watches the floater, like, go by him with an amazing pass.
And then that field goal would have won the game. Now, granted,
yes,
they might have played differently on defense.
By 1 point, yeah. But
that would have been my Aaron Rodgers prediction.
That,
where he comes
down
the field and he wins the game.
But instead, your boy Tay, who picked a six-point gap, was just 2 points off. I said 26-20, and it was 28-22, baby.
Well,
and my Super Bowl prediction from September 4th, our previous show, came through.
That's more impressive.
I can't remember the last time that, either one of us, but I can't remember the last time I myself picked both teams in the Super Bowl. And you know, it's so funny, it's going to force me, because I looked in the website, and this I did not remember, but from their 2012 game, the Seahawks beat the Patriots 24-23, the You Mad Bro game, and that's the score that I picked for this the Super Bowl. So I might have to stick with it just because that's what I put in the beginning of the show. We'll talk about it on the 31st, not this Friday, next Friday. But, Ray, I think at the end of the day, when you really break it down, Marshawn Lynch is cemented himself to me. Now, Eddie Lacy was good, right? You know, 21 for 73. He played some ball. But what Beast Mode did, when he got that first, when he didn't get the touchdown, but caught that ball and took it all the way down to, the three of the four, and they were able to, you know, get it in a couple of plays later, that catch and run was amazing. And then the touchdown from, 24 yards out, that rush. And just in general, when he was running so hard when they were down, but sort of was moving the chains and keeping them in the game so that they could get to the point that they could strike and score. 25 carries, 157 and a touch. I mean, this kid is underrated. It's blasphemy when they say, oh, we don't know if we're going to keep him next year. Well, guess what? If you don't, the dynasty is over.
Well, they said that last year, which is crazy.
I know,
so,
and it's stupid.
And we kept saying, like, really?
Christian, Michael, and Turbin
are nothing. The heart and soul of that offense, with all due respect to Russell Wilson,
yeah,
you know, you put in Michael and Turbin. No.
They're not special.
He's the modern-day Earl Campbell. By the way, Earl, if you're out there, we need to get you on the show.
Earl, We're putting a call in. We're trying to get Earl on the show. We're putting a call in. But, and we'll get into it in the Patriot game, but Blunt was, both Blunt and Lynch are 1-2 in the league for yards, yak or yards after contact for running backs. And it's just amazing because, I'll talk about that later. But how about this? Doug Baldwin and Curse, they could never connect, and then he gets the touchdown from Russell Wilson. By the way, Ray, that pass was gorgeous. I mean, that was ridiculous. You know, this kid, the poise and composure of Russell Wilson having such a bad game, but to still stay present in the moment.
That's the thing. His fourth quarter was impressive, or the last half of the fourth quarter was very impressive. But to do that after you laid such an egg.
That's what makes him more impressive.
Not only physical skills, but that takes mental strength.
It's mental, man. He's a giant mentally, and I think he's so hard. You know, it's great because when he improvises, it's not true improvising. He's improvised with purpose, almost like an MC or a jazz artist. You know what I mean? He's like Thelonious Monk.
Improvising with purpose.
Yes, he's Thelonious Monk. He's a beast out there.
God.
Six receptions, 106 yards to Doug Baldwin, who was like, sorry, Deion Sanders, what did you think about us now? Are we pedestrian? Are we this? Are we that? You know what I mean? Like, I loved it.
But you know what? I mean, but Deion's right, too, though, because they were down
20-7, yeah.
20-7, and they only scored because of a fake field goal. They had not had, in 55 minutes of football, they did not have an offensive
But
touchdown.
Doug made some huge catches, and anybody that gets 6 for 106 in a championship game, gets a lot of props.
No,
so you got to give Doug,
But you know what? Daryl Bevel and that offense would have taken a huge, huge knock if it weren't for a couple of those, the plays that they made, but the plays at Green Bay.
Was the fake field goal the gutsiest call you've ever seen in a championship game? That's got to go up there.
Ever. The onside kick to start the Super Bowl with
But I said championship game. I said championship game. That was impressive because 3 points doesn't do you enough there. And that changed the whole momentum. That kept them in the game. They could taste it and sniff it. One criticism of Rodgers and or McCarthy, but I have to, put it on Rodgers. Number one, when you look at those two last series or whatever, and Quarles did drop that, first down, and they rushed Lacy for -4, -2, whatever. But number one, two things. He can audible at the line, right? He's got that carte blanche. You can't tell me that he doesn't have that. And two, I really think I can't believe from the somewhere in the third quarter on, you don't test two of the LOB that are severely injured playing. Richard Sherman was not thrown at after the injury, and that's mind-boggling, and Earl Thomas wasn't really tested. And
I said, run at him too.
Yeah, dislocated shoulder for Thomas and a sprained elbow, and they're out there looking like they got complete stingers and utter pain.
Not even hiding it too. We could see it on TV, so they could see it on the
gutsy
field.
Gutsy performances from those guys. Give Seattle's defense credit, man. If they go back-to-back, Ray, and not just back-to-back, but back-to-back beating Manning and Brady in the decade of offense, the two greatest quarterbacks in the decade of offense, then the Seahawks, you can put them up there with the Steel Curtain, the Monsters of the Midway, the Ravens, and the Bucks. They are in that top five. There's no way you can leave them out. And the Purple People Eaters. There's no way you can leave Seahawks defense out.
Yeah, you gotta say that with this performance, if they were to win this, like you said, in an age where you can't breathe on receivers, and you've got Manning.
Yo,
and
ref,
Brady.
He sneezed on me. Ref, he sneezed on me. Call the flag.
Yeah. Ugh. Manning and Brady. Oh, and by the way, Russell Wilson will go down as, I don't know if he's, maybe he is Hall of Fame, because we said Eli Manning will be Hall of Fame because he'll win just because of the two Super Bowls. I mean, let alone, the 3-4 seasons he led the league in turnovers.
Right, the way that his career is projecting, where he's headed.
But what I'm saying is Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch will be your two potential Hall of Famers, but
on
everybody
offense.
Else on offense.
Yeah, everybody else.
Offense, but everybody else on offense, you're going to be like, really?
Defense, they might be three or four guys. Actually, maybe five.
Maybe five.
Depending on Bennett and Wagner, how their careers continue to progress. But
Thomas.
On the backside, Chancellor, Thomas, and Sherman. Yeah, that could be a five Hall of Fame. That would be crazy. But interesting stat, and you know what? It's funny because when you watch the game, you don't really – you're not seeing the numbers, add up. But Russell Wilson, crazy as it is, 209 yards and a touchdown. Yes, he had the picks. But your boy Aaron Rodgers, only had 178 yards passing and a touchdown. So – and they both had the same amount of, completions, five more attempts for, Rodgers than Wilson. But – Ray, nobody is outplaying Russell Wilson in these games. He outplayed Manning. He outplayed Rodgers, And remember that stat I told you. Now with this, he's 10-0 against Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. That's an amazing stat.
That is really an amazing quarterback.
In
you
his
don't
third
play against
season.
Them technically, but wow,
that's wild. So, that's that game, man. It was classic for the ending in the fourth quarter and all that stuff. It wasn't the greatest game when you're watching it. But you know what? I never really gave up hope. I did want to see them throw maybe a couple more screen passes to Eddie Lacy. Devontae Adams didn't really get going. I don't know. It's hard to criticize, but you almost felt like, and Rodgers did say this, and I think it's fair, you don't feel like they played to win. Like, when you got the champs on, you got their foot on their neck, step on it. Don't kind of like, tickle them with your big toe. You got to step on the neck. And they didn't do that. So that's the biggest criticism of McCarthy and Rodgers. They didn't finish them. Period.
Yes. And you know what? We say that they're going to learn. They're going to learn. Nobody learns. Everybody makes the same mistakes. And it happens time and time again. Now, if Rodgers was to throw and then throw a pick, people would say, oh, you were crazy. You should have just run the ball. So there's downside to that, too. But to me, Rodgers is the best in the game. So
yeah, I would play to win with him any day.
Aaron, I need a first down. I need a first down. And I'm trusting in you that you'll get me that first down, even against the Seattle defense.
Yeah,
just one
totally.
First down, and they would have won the game.
So now in the inflated or deflated ball bowl, which, you know, I don't know. They said your boy Jackson did not even say anything to the ref, so I don't know where they're getting it from. But to me, the whole thing is sort of silly. I don't know where it started. You know, who knows?
It wasn't a close game, because you know,
yeah.
If it was a close game.
But let's say this. Why doesn't the NFL just, you know, they can practice and do and rub their balls down, and then you give it to somebody else?
They do.
They're in like a box.
They give it to the...
No, the officials mark it, but then it goes back to the team.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It shouldn't go back to the team ever. It should be on the sideline with I'm the NFL ball boy for the league. I mean, this league has too much money. So, you know, eliminate the element of questioning whether or not something's legit, right? I think it's kind of stupid. It's like, there shouldn't even be a conversation in your AFC championship. That's horrible. That's worse than NBA referee stuff. That's horrible. So anyway, look, Brady Belichick, we both predicted it. Neither one of us had a blowout like this. You had more of a blowout than me. But this was and I don't necessarily knock Andrew Luck, but I will say this, Ray, the receivers weren't really getting open. They put the, you know, kibosh on Hilton. Like I said, your boy Revis would get a pick. He did. And they have too much. This Patriot team is too much. They couldn't run the ball 51 yards with Herring. And what Blunt did, and it hurts me in my soul as a Steeler fan, not that you know that Le'Veon Bell's going to get hurt, but if we had Blunt and Bell did get hurt, we're probably playing in this game at New England with Blunt instead of him being on the Patriots. 30 for 148 and 3 touchdowns. Are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding me? And you know
and
how people ripped him.
Gray would get a lot of
yeah,
run.
Yeah, we knew they'd run. We knew they would run, but it was Blunt to the left, Blunt to the right. And give Blunt credit, he wasn't just pounding him. You saw he had some jig moves, the little agility.
You know, LeGarrette Blunt was returning kicks.
Yes, we remember Oregon. He was a beast.
Oregon in New England,
Tampa.
Yeah.
Nah, give him. He's a heck of an athlete. I like what Edelman did, 9 for 98. He played great. Gronk, you see your boy Solar get a touchdown. Reggie Wayne, it's probably time to retire, you know. But
although he was coming off the injury this year. You know,
I know. I don't know if he's got the speed to get off of one-on-one coverage anymore. He doesn't. I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. Moncrief and the other guys, you know, they Knicks. You don't know that one-year deal. If he'll come back, maybe they'll keep him just in case they lose Wayne or don't want to bring him back. You know, Knicks is probably, you know, he didn't earn crazy money, so they can probably bring him back and just do a 2-3 year deal with him. Because you like his size. But I want to say this. They have to draft offensive line and running back. There's a lot of teams in this league that need running backs. And this is good because it's a big, deep draft with Gordon and Abdullah and all these guys. But Andrew Luck, this is what I want to say. 12 for 33, Ray. At the end of the day with 126, Bill Belichick is in his head, just like he was to Peyton Manning. And Luck will not get where he wants to go until he can defeat this team.
Well, but he doesn't have the tools. At least Manning had the tools, and you could say that Belichick was in his head. Luck doesn't have the tools.
But he's not even
playing
his best 12 for 33. Luck is a gunslinger. He plays better than that against everybody else. You got to be fair. He's got to be criticized a little bit.
No.
We both love the kid.
I created a terrible performance.
Yeah,
but then
again,
he shouldn't have even been there. He's not a championship.
No, yeah.
That team is not a championship.
You said it. You said it on last show. They're basically a year ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
They didn't have Mathis. They had other injuries. You know, that whole incident, we didn't really talk about it. The backup linebacker, he was great on special teams for them with the rape charge, McCrary. I mean, you know, but they didn't have, you know. Listen, this is a different team with Ahmad Bradshaw. I'll tell you that one. He was balling this year for the Colts. I had him on my fantasy team. That's a different team. So with now, obviously, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl the next, you know, couple of shows and preview it on January 31st. A little like, you know, preview. Can Russell Wilson? Because they're going to try to take away Lynch. Belichick, you said it best, and it's true. He takes away something. Can Russell Wilson stop Tom Brady from getting his fourth Super Bowl? Threw that out there, you know, with the Urban Daily and stuff. And that's a legit question because at the end of the day, he's going to have to make plays against the Patriots. They're going to have to score. It's going to be in the 20s, early or late 20s. He's going to have to put up points, Ray.
Yeah. Well, obviously we'll talk about this in the next 10 days. But you know what? This game, I think it opened up as Seattle's a 2.5-point favorite.
And now it's even.
Now it's, right? And I was about to say, this game should be a pick-up. I mean, this is one where you throw out the spread and you just say, who
you just play ball.
Win? Yeah, who do you think is going to win? And I bet you if you played this
Super Bowl
game simulated, it would be 5-5, 6-4,
totally.
One way or the other.
Yeah, totally.
This could go either way. We'll have to work on our analysis and break it
down,
you know,
we'll
matchup by matchup. But any outcome is possible. I mean, I don't think a blowout, but either team winning.
No, we're not going to have that Super Bowl like last year. That's not happening.
I don't think that's happening,
right? The Patriots defense is not Denver's defense of last year, and not to knock Manning, but Brady is, you know, he's going to go out swinging. You know, it's fascinating. Two things. Number one, Belichick passed Tom Landry, 21 playoff wins, and your boy Brady going to his sixth Super Bowl, setting the record. And did you know this is the first time since 84 the two number one seeds have made it to the Super Bowl? So we're looking for a great week. Out here in Arizona, your boy Tay is going to be bouncing around to the Fan Fest NFL Experience over there by ESPN. So, you know, look for, you know, we really want to try to fly Ray out here on the red eye, see if we can get him out here for a day or two for the Super Bowl festivities. But we're going to be bringing it to you big time. Ray, let's talk a little bit of college hoops because things are heating up. I don't know. I guess the main question I want to ask you is, forget Kentucky. They are who they are. They are what they are. Is Virginia, Duke, Villanova, Wisconsin, Arizona, any of them for real in that top 10?
You know, I think they're all for real. I mean,
okay. The
one thing that bothers me about Kentucky, they can't score consistently.
Yeah.
They defend. And they rotate people at you, and they have athletes, and they've had two scares already.
Yeah, two back-to-back overtime games.
Yeah, and a team that can't score is a team that if their defense slips a little bit and they fall behind, and they're a bunch of freshmen and sophomores. So,
but that means
it's
got to be an offensive team that can beat them, like a Maryland, like a Iowa State, maybe a Notre Dame.
Wait a minute.
I'm looking at the top 25, baby. Yo, Terps were 13. Wait, you got to give us some time.
You just said Wisconsin.
We haven't mentioned. We have not mentioned. Do you know what my Terps have done in the Big Ten? We smacked the snot out of Michigan State and Tom Izzo twice already. Give us our props, Ray. Yo, Terps. That's pretty impressive, though, isn't it?
Even though
it's not a typical Michigan State team, you know, he's still Izzo and he still gets ballers. That's pretty impressive. Maryland's got a good team. Dez Wells and the other kid who's a potential, you know, late lottery pick, Lavier or whatever his name is. They got some ballers over there. But I don't know. This is a question. Everybody's been talking about this, about Georgetown, Villanova. Should Georgetown be, you know, the kids, should they be running on the court when they beat Villanova? And it's like, you know, this is a rival. Nobody's number one, really. I mean, Villanova beat you in the championship. You shouldn't be running on the court against them. But I got to tell you, as a kid who's done it when you're in college, you know, just let the kids have fun. I think
yeah,
everybody
and
gets,
you know what? We're all like mature adults thinking, oh, you shouldn't do this. But if you're 18, 19 years old, you don't even remember. You weren't.
Yeah, they don't know Villanova beat Georgetown in 85.
You probably never even heard of Rolly Massimino. So you don't know.
Or Harold Jensen. What's a Harold Jensen?
You don't know. That's a, you know what a Harold Jensen sounds like? A
used car salesman?
No, it sounds like a pastrami on rye.
Oh,
with
gosh.
With some coleslaw and some Thousand Island dressing. That's a Harold Jensen right there.
So let me add two things, right? What's the best conference in college basketball? Obviously, the Big 12's got, I think, what, 6 or 7 teams in the top 25. So they're looking really good. I mean, you got a pack of them right in a row from like 21 to 17 with Texas, West Virginia, Oklahoma, you know, Baylor. What are your thoughts? Do you like the ACC, the Big 12, Big 10? Who's number one this year?
I think with the depth, and we saw last night Kansas and Oklahoma played a good game. The Big 12 was very interesting, but I think at the top, obviously Kentucky's the best team by a margin. But the rest of the SEC is not that exciting to me. So I gotta say the ACC, man.
Duke, Virginia, Notre Dame, and North Carolina.
And your boys at Maryland. Your boys at Maryland and Big Ten. We'll get to them in a sec. So yeah. I gotta think that like top five firepower with some depth.
Yeah, they got 5 and 15 in the ACC. 5 in the top 15, pretty good.
Yeah. And so I gotta go with the ACC. But you know what? Big Ten always has that grinding regular season, which might just prepare you for the tournament. So, you know, Tom Izzo is an unbelievable tournament coach. He always gets his teams ready for the tournament. And the new additions, you know, Maryland, they've got to be.
They've got Indiana,
you know,
Iowa, and Wisconsin in there, too, with Maryland.
Yeah,
that's four teams.
You know, when Frank the Tank is healthy –
oof.
They're obviously a top five team. So, you know, they've got depth throughout the top 25. I think, look, at the end of the day, this is the great thing about college is that we talk a lot, but they still have to go through a conference tournament, and then they still have to go through March Madness. So
you really earn it.
You earn it.
I mean,
you earn it. To win 6 games.
People, the critics rip it, right? Critics say that because 68 teams make the tournament – that the regular season is not interesting, it doesn't matter, and it's only about March. And see, I think that's, you know, super breaking it down and analyzing it. I don't think that's fair because, number one, jockeying for seeding and positioning matters. And number two, it's about building up a team, getting better, improving, you know, like a Gonzaga or Virginia. Yeah, they're 2 and 3, but them improving their team so that maybe they're ready to take down a Kentucky or maybe, you know, somebody lower down like a Utah developing their season. And you know, so I don't think it's – I think people just love to find ways to rip college basketball. They do need to get it down to a 24-second shot clock. But I think – you know, and figure out the block and charge thing. But overall, college basketball is good. The kids need to stay 2 to 3 years. That's the major thing. That and the shot clock, you know what I mean? But I've got to ask you about this. Coach K is coming to the Garden, and he's going for 1,000 wins against St. John's.
I don't want him to do it against St. John's.
Okay. So if he doesn't, then back-to-back he plays Virginia and Notre Dame. Goodness.
Yeah, well, he'll do it against St. John's.
You talk about some rough matchups in the ACC, two top 10 battles if they don't beat St. John's. What's your best bet? You think he gets it done on, what do they play, Saturday or Sunday in the Garden?
I think he comes to Madison Square Garden, and unless Bootsy Thornton comes out of the rafters with Eric Barkley and Ron Artest, not Metta World, but Ron Artest.
Why you say Bootsy on me? Come
Bootsy
on.
Thornton, that's who we need to get on the show. Bootsy, where are you at, man? You're from Baltimore. We know.
We got to get Bootsy, because we're talking about getting Zendon Hamilton, who was a great, you know, St. John's player, but Bootsy was, that was our guy. Do you remember that?
So,
that team was nice.
I know. I saw that game, too. I was at Madison Square Garden. I think Bootsy Thornton had like 41
Something crazy.
But I think Duke wins the game. I think Krzyzewski wins his 1,000. And Jay Williams said it on ESPN. He said, you know what? He wouldn't care.
Yeah.
He wouldn't care. He just goes about his business, Coach K, and that's it. He's like, let's go. On to the next. So not only is he going to win 1,000, but if he coaches for another 5 years, that'll probably be another 100, 120 victories. So he's going to put this way out of reach.
Yeah, he's something else. He still needs two more, though, to pass our man, the Deaner, Dean Smith, and ACC wins. So he'll get that this year, too, maybe even next week or whatever. You know, it's great. You have to, even people like us who are Tar Heel fans and don't really like Duke at all, you have to respect the longevity, the consistency. You know, he's had opportunities to go to the NBA, but you know what? He got his fix with the Olympics and you know, USA basketball. And I think he wouldn't even want to spoil it going to an NBA with a regular, you know, roster of, you know, knuckleheads compared to working with, you know, Kobe, LeBron, and the greatest of the greats. And I don't know. I just give him a lot of credit, man, because he's had some teams that have gotten upset really early, but he's also had some teams that have made some runs. I mean, obviously, you know, we talked about Steph Davis, the legendary runs in the 90s, early 90s, but he's had some other teams that, you know, that Butler team, that wasn't, when they beat Butler, that wasn't the greatest team, and they won the chip. So, you know, I don't know. I think he's a great coach.
Yeah, he's awesome, and I love the fact that he stayed at one place. And he came there in, I think it was 84, and then, my guy was the recruit that really brought it, you know, brought the highlight to the program again, because Mike Jaminski and them went to the Final Four in 79. But Johnny Dawkins,
J.D.
got him
Love.
Out of D.C. And then
that's Ray's
year,
favorite player, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
His favorite player is a Dookie.
Show. And then he got what's his name, the point guard, Tommy Amaker. And moved Johnny Dawkins to the two. So
great backcourt.
Wow,
legendary,
that was
backcourt,
just great.
Yeah.
And then Billis and Amaker and all those guys. Allery.
Ferry. Allery.
Danny Ferry. Yeah. Ala Abdanabi.
Oh, you know, Ala works for CBS, man. Ala, yeah, that's the guy. That's
and
the guy.
Ala before Grant Hill, Christian Laettner.
Jay Williams,
Bobby Hurley,
and all them other guys.
And all those guys came and won those championships. And then, Jay Williams.
So did you see Bobby Hurley? I think is coaching. I forgot where I saw him at, but Bobby Hurley.
Yeah, he and
coaching.
His brother, Danny Hurley, are both coaching.
Yeah, that's great. Following, you know, the father, legendary coach from St. Anthony's. What a program, you know. You know, it's really fascinating, and you like to see these. You know, the kids that, you know, once they played, and that's what I also like about Coach K. You know, he's hired so many guys, you know, Wojciechowski, like so many different guys that played for him, and they've gone on to be, you know, now great coaches. You know, we talk about like the Bell, you know, the Parcells tree and Walsh tree. Well, you got the Coach K tree, and it's pretty darn good. So that's nice. We got to talk some hoops. We got to take it to the hardwood with the pros, Ray. You know what I mean?
Let's do it.
Well, you know what I was thinking? We got to drop a little flavor for the audience. Let's take a quick break. Let's rock a quick beat. Ray and Tay return with the NBA.
Back to talk round ball hoops. And even though there's a moratorium on the Knicks until
they
win 10 games,
they won.
They had a 15-point lead. They came back without
and against
Anthony
a good team.
Davis. Struggled
a good
to
team.
Win, but still won 16-game losing streak. That's all we have to say about the Knicks. All right, let's talk about some real teams.
Well, this is my question. I think it's Thursday where they announce the All-Star starters, right? So the starters are one thing. And then, you know, maybe the following week we get the reserves and the game is on the 15th, yada, yada, yada. But I got to ask you, can and should, because the coach is going to be from the Hawks, should the Hawks have four All-Stars? As clearly the best team in the East. And I'm talking about Jeff Teague, Millsap Horford, and Kyle Korver. He's doing something that no one has, I think, ever done shooting 50, 50, and 90. Over 50 from three, over 50 from the field, and over 90 from free throw. Ray, that's impressive. And the Hawks are impressive.
It is, and they are. But if you have, 13-man roster for the All-Star?
I don't know what they're going to do. They normally do, do the 12, I think.
It's just 12?
Yeah, they might up it to 13 since now you can play 13. Yeah, it's probably going to be 13.
Let's say you have a 13-man roster. You got to give the Atlanta Hawks credit because they're in first place.
But you must
really deep down in your heart say those four players are the top 13 in the conference. And, yeah, of course, it divides up by position, so it's not fair. But can you really say that they're
– Well, you know, John Wall is voted in at point guard. And then if you had to say we'll take 3-point guards, the next two would be what? Kyle Lowry and who?
Lowry.
Kyle Lowry. It's got to be Kyrie Irving. Derrick Rose has been not, you know, playing well.
Yeah,
Nobody on Brooklyn, you know, Charlotte.
Right. So
nobody.
Where does Teague fit into there?
Well, that's the one issue. But remember, it's the coaches. But I think I don't know how it's weighed in terms of the head coach of the All-Stars will be, you know, Budenholzer. Does he have a weighted, you know, does he have more carte blanche or votes? I don't know how that goes.
I think it's literally the coaches.
It's all the coaches. The whole Eastern Conference. I think they're going to respect them because let me tell you something. When you compare the East and the West, what the Hawks have done, they're not just beating up on the poor East. They smacked the West in their mouths. When they went on that West Coast trip, they took care of everybody, came home. You think when, you know, teams come home that first game they're going to lose, well, they came home and played the Grizzlies, beat the Grizzlies like by 20. So the Hawks are no joke.
I'm coming home.
Yesterday that was a good win, beating the Pistons again on Martin Luther King Day. They had the, you know, great intro with the church choir. I was like, yeah, go ahead, Hawks. So, I mean, I got to respect this team. You know, we both agree you don't know if they can, you know, sustain it for the playoffs. Maybe they win the first round, but you don't know about, you know, second. And right now, could you imagine if it ended today, the Bulls and the Cavs, the first round matchup, the 4-5, that would be insane. And what happened last night, because we got to talk about D. Rose, LeBron and the Cavs, they're going to be fine. They're starting to realize they have to get Kevin Love touches. Even though he was only 3-for-13, he played well, he scored, he was active on the glass. You have to make him feel welcome and a part of it. JR, I think, has worked out good. They want him to be, you know, he's a bit of better shooter than Waiters, and they just want him to come and shoot, be long, play defense. Mozgov looks good. When Shumpert comes back, that's when this team will really get to be moving. And you got to be concerned about the Bulls, which is my pick, but until Noah comes back, there's no defense. They're 16th in defense. They're normally top three.
Which is bothersome, too, because, look, Noah's a great defensive player, you know, defensive player of the year candidate, but Tom Thibodeau is a defensive guy, and he has been in their ear ever since he's gotten there about defense. Remember, he was the defensive coordinator for the Boston Celtics when they won that championship
against the Lakers and
should have, you know, potentially won another one if Kendrick Perkins didn't get hurt. So that's got to be disturbing that Noah goes down and suddenly all the defensive principles, you know, go out the door with him. So
Paul, our boy Gasol is not as great as he is and will probably be a starter. You know, I didn't look at the last results, but last time I know we had looked, it was, Wade, Wall, Melo, LeBron, and Gasol. So, you know, if Gasol's had a great season, but we all know he's not the, you know, he's been blocking some shots a lot this year, but he's not the greatest weak side helper. I mean, Noah's just amazing, and I think Noah cleans up everybody else's messes. But D. Rose, he's sort of frustrated. He's speaking out, but he's not playing great defense either. So, I mean, and I think Jimmy Butler's scoring too much. He's like, I'm going to be a free agent. I'm not worried about my D as much. I'm scoring.
You might be right, because you might want to go, you know, Lance Stephenson style and get paid.
The kid is playing ball, though. I can't be mad at him, though, Ray. The kid is playing ball. Jimmy Butler's playing ball.
I should say Lance Stephenson. I should say Paul George style. Let's say he wants to go come on the scene, score his 20-21 a game, and then go get paid.
Yeah. Well, they might not be able to keep him. It'll be fascinating to see if he winds up – you know, because, I mean, look, there's going to be some guys that people think might stay where they're at. But even for the Knicks, and I tweeted this out a week or two ago, you know, they could still get a combination of Greg Monroe or Butler. Let's say Gasol stays. They might be able to get Rondo. He might not love Dallas and might think the East is easier to win, and him and Melo are friends. They might be able to get Rondo and Greg Monroe or Wes Matthews and Monroe. I mean, you just don't know, you know. So I think, you know, Knicks fans have to hold out hope. But what I'm fascinated about is, and I really believe this, Detroit, who I thought would make the playoffs at the beginning of the season, they are now only a game and a half out, Ray, of the eighth spot.
You know, and I hate to do this to the young man, but I think it was SportsCenter said, look at Atlanta and look at Detroit, and what do they have in common? They had and then got rid of Josh Smith.
Rid of Josh Smith.
And I'm like, that's not even right. I mean, it's a fact, but that's not even right. That's not even right. But good for Detroit. You know what? You sign a free agent, you make a mistake, it's not a good fit, and they're playing ball. And
Jennings is playing great since he's gone. And same
know,
with Drummond.
And Drummond and Monroe and Pope. You know, in the backcourt.
Yeah. Kyle Singler. Kyle Singler's balling.
Kyle Singler.
Your man.
Everybody said, you know, he's barely a role player, but he's doing his thing.
Yeah.
You know, so good for Detroit. You know what? Good for them.
Are you disappointed in the West? Are you disappointed with the Clippers? You can't worry about the Spurs. They're the seventh seed. They're not playing great, but haven't had all the health. But at 28-14, what's going on with Doc Rivers and the Clippers?
First of all, I might have to call him Glenn.
Okay.
Because I might have to be like, look, Glenn, we need to talk.
Yeah.
Because this is your chance, you know. You've got your stud point guard. You've got your twin towers. You've got your wing, you know, scorers, wing defenders. You've got your J.J. Redick. What's the problem? Like, really, what's the problem?
Now they're saying they might get Tayshaun Prince. And I'm like, he's not that much better or the same thing as Matt Barnes now. I mean, you know,
Matt Barnes is Matt Barnes. I mean, I like Matt Barnes. I don't understand. Doc Rivers gave, you know, because he's the player personnel guy too, so he doesn't have anybody to point at. But I got to say that as a player personnel, they've got the tools. They've got the tools. You know, most teams you look at and you say they've got a weakness. You know, they don't do this. They don't do that. They don't play half-court offense.
They've got Redick. They've got Crawford.
They've got everything.
Score,
so on paper,
Spencer Hawes,
they've got the sixth man. They've got the size. They've got the point guard. They've got the wing defenders. They've got the rebound. So what's the problem?
Turkaloo, Big Baby. I mean, they got a deep bench.
What's the problem? They have
everything. You're totally right.
So now it's execution time.
And listen, Ray, I'm going to come back to this because at the end of the day, it might fall on CP3.
Not only that, but you're 100% right. And this will be his 10th year.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like, really? You're going to lose again in the first round or in the second round?
And you know who's breathing on his neck is Lillard and Stephen Curry. And CP3 still always has to take a back seat to Parker and Rondo because they got the jewelry. And it's a shame because we all respect CP3, his assist to turnover ratio, all the stats. But
you know what'll be a shame?
He doesn't get it done. What?
If CP3 doesn't get it done in his prime and he has to go do a Gary Payton
and go win a championship as a backup point guard
or like a sixth man or just a guy. Like in 5 years when he's not as
athletic.
You're
saying he's going to back up one of the Harrison twins?
Oh, stop.
Oh, God, that's horrible. That's horrible.
That wasn't fair of me. He needs to do it now. He needs to do it now when he's in his prime, when he's CP3. Because when he's CP2 or he's CP1.
Or when he's Cliff. When he's Cliff Paul.
Oh, my God.
So, that was messed up. So, when you still look at the West, though, Phoenix is holding on. And, you know, had a big win the other night against the Lakers. They're up 3.5 on OKC. And OKC is looking like they're starting to, you know, wake up. But it's fascinating. You know, they're only at 40 games. But I don't know. There's something that doesn't feel right with OKC yet. And I don't know what it is. I almost feel like they actually do need to make that Lopez deal. And maybe it's giving up Perkins and Reggie Jackson together or something. you know, or you know, taking another bad contract from Brooklyn since they want to dump some money. But to be honest with you, they shoot too many jumpers, and we both love Durant and Westbrook, and then you got Waiters there. But at the end of the day, nobody's really taken it to the free throw line enough. And they, and as aggressive as Westbrook is, and I think he's, you know, a monster, I think still shot selection, and you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure they'll probably make it, but Phoenix is they're not, you know, they've only gotten better with their moves too. You know,
yeah,
Brandon Wright and
Oklahoma City, you know, we wanted Perry Jones to turn out to be a player.
And,
we wanted Steven Adams to turn out
and Lamb
be a decent and Lamb. They're all still young, so they still might. But the problem with Oklahoma City is also in the playoffs, when things slow down, they don't get enough easy baskets.
That's right.
So the perfect example is Westbrook. Westbrook will give you 30, but it'll take 25 shots, 30 shots to get it.
And it's not easy at all.
Offense.
It's never
it's
easy.
It's not easy. It's not easy.
And Lopez would free it up so much because he could score in the post.
He's a good fit for that team, especially because they have Ibaka there to protect, to rebound. You know what I mean? He needs
perfect.
To be paired up with somebody because Brook Lopez on his own to be your big man presence, that's not, you know.
Yeah, you don't get rebounding
anybody.
And defense. Yeah, you don't get that. So you're right. Ibaka would be perfect. It's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. I mean, obviously we've already spoken about it and there haven't really been any more, but, you know, all these wild trades, hey, this will warm your heart. He signed for the rest of the season with the Milwaukee Bucks, our man, Kenyon Martin. I guess him and Jay Kidd are still close friends. That's pretty awesome, right? The Kenyon is he's going to ride it out with the Bucks and probably play in the playoffs, man. The Bucks
That'd
are going
to be great.
Yeah,
be great. Bucks. Good for him.
Could you ever imagine that you would say that in this season the Bucks are not just going to make the playoffs, but be probably. I mean, look, it's not crazy to say it, but they're probably going to be ahead of Miami and Brooklyn. And Miami and Brooklyn might not even make it. They're holding on, but for dear life, because Detroit's coming.
That's crazy.
And Charlotte's waking up as of late. They've been playing
that's
better ball.
Crazy.
That is crazy. So, I, oh, man, I'm kind of fascinated to see how things are going to play out. I think, you know, for me, with the All-Star, it's going to be in Brooklyn and in New York. At the end of the day, I think they need to do a couple things. I don't know if you read this, but the Olympics is going to do 3-on-3. I'd like to see the All-Star weekend at a 3-on-3 game. I think they had done it one. They do the shooting with the seniors, the WNBA, and a star player.
Wait, didn't they do 3-on-3? Yeah, with the WNBA, the
yeah, they
the
do
NBA.
It, but it's a shooting and dribbling and all that. But I like to see it actually be a game where you're seeing like a one a 3 and a 5, you know, like, you know, that would be crazy, you know, if you had CP3 and you know, Durant and Jordan against, like, LeBron, Gasol, and, you know, whoever, you know, Lillard or something, you know what
that
I mean? Like, I don't know.
That would be crazy because that's something you never see, but then everybody who's played basketball has always played 3-on-3 half court.
That's
know?
Why it would be really cool, I think. I think fans would get into that. And, you
let's
know,
make it happen.
I
let's call Adam Silver.
We
got to
call Adam Silver. Because honestly, Ray, if I almost don't want to see another dunk contest. And I love it. We all love the dunks. But everything's been done. And if you don't have, you know, this is the last chance. I mean, he's not going to do it ever again if it doesn't happen this year. But this would be the last chance. I'd like to see LeBron. I'd want to see the great. I'd like to see.
You know,
I mean, there's a lot of good dunkers.
It's nobody's fault. It's just that between Julius Erving and Larry Nance and Dominique Wilkins and Michael Jordan, Vince Carter, Kobe, you know, Tracy McGrady, they've all done it. All the stars have done it. And we've
Vince
been
Carter,
doing dunk contest for 35 years now. So you're right.
Even Dwight Howard did it,
Dwight Howard and Blake Griffin. There's no upside. So it's almost like you have to do it, but like LeBron probably feels like he would have to win it because if he goes in and doesn't win it, but he should win it, right? He's more athletic.
Yeah, we've seen, look, I mean, you know, I think it was last year or the year before when he released the crazy video a week before the All-Star game where he's throwing it off the wall through the court and,
right.
You know, catching it and dunking it. Like, come on, don't tease people like that. That's it's almost evil.
Jermaine,
you know what I mean?
Stop teasing.
Don't be teasing, yo. Wait. Speaking of a tease, man. I think the Sixers are getting teased by our boy Joel Embiid. Before we get off the air, we got to mention the rumor is my man is 300 pounds.
And you know, we talked about this off air, and I was like, don't let him become the next Stanley Roberts. John Hot Plate Williams.
Oh, Ray, you're killing me with those names.
Oh, man.
Listen,
keep
that's
it together. Sean Kemp, when they had the lockout.
Oh, Sean Kemp got so big, yeah. But that would be shameful because, you know, forget the fact that in 2018-19 I predicted them to, you know, maybe get and win a championship. But, you know, if him and Noel and Carter Williams and then their picks this year – you know, if they could all do something to get together, you know, they have potential, and Embiid's got potential, and you just want to see the kid make it to play and have something. And, you know, 300 pounds is not going to be having nothing.
Not a good look.
That's going to be really hard.
We had a great show. We talked NFL, we talked NBA, we talked college. You know it's going to heat up NFL for the rest of the, you know, for the next 3 episodes.
Yeah, they got the Pro Bowl draft on Wednesday. The Senior Bowl is coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that a little bit more on Friday. Some of the, you know, big names at the Senior Bowl. And definitely Friday we got good games this week in NBA and in college hoops. So we'll break it down some more on Friday. And hope everybody enjoys their sports week, man.
Have a great sports week. We'll see you guys on Friday. Thanks for joining us. Ray.
Oh, and listen,
Tate.
You know, we're all about sports, but hey, the State of the Union tonight, you know, open up your brain a little bit and watch what's going on in the country.
Yeah, 9 Eastern.
All right. Peace. Thanks for listening. We're out.
We're out.